Thank you. So I would also like to welcome you all to this day retreat here in King Alfred School. It's lovely to be back and lovely to see again many familiar faces, and equally lovely to see new faces here, at least new to myself. And I imagine a few here for the first time as well, so that's wonderful. Whether you've come back or come the first time, I'm very happy actually that people would choose to come and spend a day of one's precious time, and time that for most of us has many demands upon it, to come and engage in meditation practice and to make some space for oneself to kind of land more deeply in one's experience and perhaps explore more deeply into what's true and what's important in our lives, what's useful. And so if you're just arriving, please come find yourself somewhere to sit down. There's a couple of cushions and a mat here that are currently without someone to sit on them, and they may be feeling lonely. So if you would like a little more padding of some sort, there's a little more here on offer. So we've still got another cushion and a mat. You're welcome to borrow that now or later if you wish. So long as it's still sitting at the front and hasn't appeared on someone's seat, in which case probably not so good to borrow it. At least not without asking. So welcome to those who've just arrived, and as I was saying, I'm very happy that people such as yourselves take the time to come and engage in such a thing as this meditation retreat for a day. So we can just begin noticing what it's like to be here, or to be arriving here, if we're still arriving. And I'd like to just take a few minutes to speak about the framework for the day and something of the intention for what we'll be engaging in together here. Can I just get a volume check? Is it clear and audible at the back for you? If at any point I start to speak too quietly in such a way that you can't hear me, please do this, and I'll take that as a sign that I need to turn the volume up rather than necessarily someone trying to say hello from the back. It's a mat there, free for use if you need, but okay, good. Yeah. So, coming to spend a day such as this here, we're coming into a space in which the opportunity is really to connect more deeply with our experience, to see what is true for you, for me, for us, and to perhaps also explore what is useful, what is helpful as a response to this condition that we find ourselves in, what it is to be a human being alive in this world as we are. And some of what supports that is really the framework for the day, that we have the intention to be here quite wholeheartedly is important. So that this isn't just a sort of a workshop where you can drop in and drop out if you like, but that the intention is that we kind of go through this together, and if there's something that arises for you or that's already arisen that makes that challenging for you, or you think maybe not possible for you, please let me know and we can just see what's most important or useful to be done with that. So there's a sense of really giving oneself to this time, and the day will go through till around 4:30. I'm not particularly well known for precise timekeeping, so I say around 4:30 advisedly, but I will certainly endeavour to make that a reasonably close approximation. And that is right, isn't it? That is the time we intend to end. Yes, good. Let's start with the right intention. Every place I go, we do it a little bit differently. So it was 4:45 we finished in Oxford yesterday, but 4:30 here today. And that with that coming into the space, one of the things I just want to mention is the, in a way, the intention for seclusion. That it's not easy to put down all the different demands and all the perhaps interesting possibilities that our day could have had if we didn't choose to do this. Not saying that this isn't interesting and maybe attractive also, but many other things could have been and possibly still are circulating within our hearts or our minds or our lives saying, you know, engage with me, deal with me. And there's something about consciously just saying, for now, I can let go of those things and those circumstances. It's, I was reflecting at the end of the day yesterday with one of the people who'd come, how it's really useful to just let the world get on without you for a little while and see if it can cope. Because one day it's going to have to cope without you, without me. So it can just get some practice and feel a bit more relaxed about that scenario by saying, for now, I don't need to take care of all that. And yet, of course, we are taking care of what's immediate by being here and with ourselves. And, of course, this experience is not separate from the world. But it's the piece of the world that we call me or us or this experience that we give our primary focus to for this day. So with that, the turning off of mobile phones and iPads and e-pads and computers that you might have in the back of your pocket or the back of your bag, or someday they'll be imprinted onto your body tissue, I imagine, but I don't think we've got there yet, so that's at least we can get physically separate from those things, even though we plug them into our ears and plug our eyes into them. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. I use them a lot. They're really helpful. But it's great to say, actually, just for one day, today, not even one day, from 10 o'clock till 4:30, I'm not going to engage all the incoming communication. It's okay. They make noise when we tell them to be quiet sometimes. So maybe it's their quiet protest. That's all right. And I'm equally not going to go out seeking for that remarkable amount of information that's available. You know, isn't it interesting? We don't have to not know anything anymore. As soon as the question came up, who was in that movie, or what happened in 1987, or how did this particular event come to be, and poof, we know. And in one sense, that's great. In another sense, there's something lost in that, that we instantly move into the acquiring of information and knowledge rather than sitting with actually the deeper truth of an openness that hasn't got so many certainties to it. That actually the deeper knowledge we seek in life, we can't Google for it. Or we can, but it's not using that kind of technology. It's using this kind of technology. And in a certain way, a day like today, and I've really just had this idea, so I quite like it. what we're doing here today is actually Googling for that. And part of what supports that is that sense of just letting go of things that we don't need to be engaged with, whether they be newspapers or magazines in our bag, phones, or, and of course the more familiar and well-established culture here now of the silence, of that we for this time aren't engaging in casual conversation with each other, not because that's somehow bad or unskillful in itself, but because there's something really useful to be discovered in being more wholeheartedly with one's own immediate experience. And so we're here not so concerned with what was or what will be, although what was and what might be have a bearing on what it's like right here for us, for sure. But the most focus of interest is what's here. And part of what's here also, as well as that intention to refrain from casual conversation, there will be opportunities to speak with myself, and I'll intend to meet with those of you who might be new to these day-long retreats or to meditation in its different forms. And actually, just as I'm saying that, can I get a sense from anyone who's here for the first time to King Alfred School in these days. Great, wonderful. Welcome again. And didn't quite see all of you, but and amongst those who are here for the first time, anyone engaging in meditation for the first time? Okay, so we've all done some meditation before. That's wonderful. Not that it will be required, but it's great actually that there's so many ways we can access this kind of paradigm, these teachings and practices in our modern sort of environment. And part of the benefit of all our communications technology is that we do have access to a lot of wholesome things too. But for now, we're here. And the last piece I'd like to add to the intentionality, together with that kind of secluding, allowing ourselves to be with our own experience, not seeking for contact so much outside or elsewhere, is just having an intention of, for this time at least, and it may be a larger intention in your life, but at least for this time, to be really respectful to the well-being of others and ourselves. And in the tradition we express this in the tradition of the Buddha's teachings, which the practice of insight meditation is drawn from and founded in very much, the what's called the ethical guidelines or precepts, to refrain from causing harm so far as we're able through actions which might hurt or harm others, through relating to material things that aren't ours by taking or misusing them, through unskillful expressions of our sexual energy that might cause harm, through expressions of speech that might be harmful, and through any use of alcohol, intoxicants, drugs that might lead to either harm or just a confusing and clouding of the mind that easily then leads to heedlessness and actions we regret. And just naming those things is just something about stating a shared intention here. I'm imagining for many of you they're not just something you do today, but they're part of your lives. For others it might be something new to hear and think, oh, what might it be like if I were to live just today with that intention? Or what would it be like if I were to live my life with that intention? Doesn't mean we're perfect at it, but the orientation is towards so far as I can, out of respect for the fact that I don't want to be harmed and suffer, and nor does any other being. Out of respect for that, a wish to, so far as we can, not cause harm. And with that as a framework, really, and a profound and powerful foundation, we can engage in the practice of this day, of meditation, of solitude, in a way that's truly fruitful. And I think that's a useful segue, in a way. Do we use that word here, segue? It's American mostly, isn't it? But no, I think I mostly hear it. Some are shaking their head, some are nodding. Okay, yeah. So I think I've heard it mostly when I've been teaching in America. It's sort of like the appropriate place to enter into something. So like connection, or I'm not quite sure how it translates. That's probably why it's drawn from, I'm guessing, something in the Spanish, or I don't know. Anyway, segue. You know what I mean now, do you? Yes. It's not really that important. But,
Google it.
Thanks, Heather. Yeah, maybe this evening. So, I was curious. I'm very happy to see what feels like a very, you know, positive and full response of people here, because when I arrived, I've been thinking, the topic, it's not the one that necessarily, sounds like the thing you want to advertise, suffering, you know, suffering, let's talk about suffering, let's attend to suffering. It's like, you know, we get enough of that in our lives, most of us, I imagine. And there was this little sort of thought in my mind going, I wonder if people will come. I mean, you know, we don't normally advertise days saying, by let's talk about all the painful, difficult, horrible, unpleasant experiences that we have in our lives. It's much more sort of attractive to think about peace and freedom and happiness and joy. And yet these experiences are not unrelated to each other. And one of the really fundamental underpinnings of the Buddha's teachings and of the practice of insight meditation is the importance and the value of being able to include, not exclusively, but to include that dimension of our experience which is difficult for us in our meditation and in our lives, and to contemplate it, to look at what are the implications of this, what is useful as a way of responding to this, and what happens when I do so. So I just want to name that without really saying too much more initially. But that's the theme for the day. The word the Buddha used was dukkha. And it commonly translates as suffering, but there are many other words we might use for it. And as one fundamental reason why one might engage in meditation practice might be a deep wish and longing in our heart to be free from suffering, to be free from that which is hard to bear, that which feels unsatisfactory or feels painful, scary, difficult, grievous to us in the many different ways that experience can be. And meditation is equally also about the discovery and the realization for oneself, for each of us, of what is our potential as human beings, what is possible for us, these human hearts and minds that we live our lives in and through, the depths of peace and freedom to which they can awaken in our very life. And so this kind of stands as the counterbalance in the theme and the topic of, yes, there is suffering, there is this dimension in life, and yet there is also freedom, there is this possibility in life. And I think the interest in meditation tends to come, for most of us, either because we see and really feel and know the truth of the suffering and think, help, to put it bluntly, or find me some way either out of this or how to handle this or to understand this, to deal with it appropriately, skillfully. It's a very, you know, real human consideration. Or because we have some interest in, and it may equally be both, that sense of possibility, of something more than what I know or have known up till now that could be possible, that may be knowable, that can be discovered. And so these are the two kind of, I would say, things that move us, whether we express them in that language as I've used, or maybe you have different language for it, but I imagine there's something of that in what brings you here and what actually moves you in your life. So having said that, without picking that up in any more detail right now, I'd just like to turn to the meditation practice. And we'll be using the framework of insight meditation, sitting, walking and standing meditation, so different postures. And perhaps for one or two who may have the physical need due to some injury or limitations to use a lying posture on occasion, that's also part of what's possible and may be needed for some. And yet, although we use those different postures, meditation isn't about the posture that we're in. Meditation isn't about the shape of our physical body, whether it's sitting or standing or walking or lying or moving in between such postures. Meditation is much more concerned about an inner orientation. And that inner orientation is towards the immediacy of one's experience, and in that, a certain relinquishing of our stories, our concepts and our projections that we place onto the experience, and being willing to look and see what's actually happening. Of which, of course, those stories and concepts and projections are part of what's happening, but need to be seen as such, rather than just believed as to what they suggest. And there's that turning towards what's happening to see what's here. And in that, to be open to the question of, what's a useful response to this? And really, this is what meditation is concerned with. Coming into contact with where we are, opening to how it is, and then looking to see what's true and what's useful. It's an essentially and fundamentally pragmatic thing. It's not about a philosophy. It's not about a bunch of beliefs or rules. Although there are those elements within Buddhist teaching, as in pretty much all spiritual traditions. But essentially what's of concern is what's true and what's useful. What leads us towards that which we wish for most deeply in our lives? And I would suggest that might be, you know, the healing, the end or the healing, the reduction, or the end of suffering, and the discovery and the realization, the potential to live with more peace and more freedom in our hearts, and that there be more peace and more freedom in our world. So meditation, that inner orientation. I'd like to begin